Okay, we are up to the Mechoinos and the Kiyorim. So we have to first do the Rashi. We left out some Rashi. I want to go over some of the Rashi. So we're up to Pasuk Yudalid. Perik Dalid, Pasuk Yudalid. We're up to the Mechoinos Asa V'Yesa Kiyoros. But before we do the Mechoinos and the Kiyoros, let's just run through some of the Rashi that we left out. And maybe someone here can figure out this Rashi, this mysterious Rashi. Mechoinos means the Beitz. The base was a very elaborate base which had wheels. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But let's first, we have to do some of the, we didn't do the Rashis. Okay, well let's do, maybe someone can figure out this Rashi for me. I have no idea what it means. Let's go back to the Menorah Rashi. It is Pasuk Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Vayas es ha-menorahs. Hazav Eser Kimishbatam. Chiram Shlomo, they made menorahs, 10 menorahs. Eser Kimishbatam, according to the laws. Why does it say the word Kimishbatam by the menorahs? Lefisha Moshemodi Anu Lama Osa Sar menorahs. It's coming to tell us why he made 10 menorahs. Kimishbatam, according to the law. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech did not make the 10 menorahs on his own. This is a binyanav for all of the extra things which Shlomo HaMelech added to the Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 additional menorahs, 10 additional shulchanos, 2 additional keruvim, 10 additional kiyoros to wash the washing basin, plus he made the Yam Shel Shlomo. Why did he add all of these things? So it says, at least by the menorah kimishbatam, according to the law, the Torah demanded that there be 10 menorahs. So where did he find the remes? And I don't know what this means. I spent the time trying to sort resources. I couldn't find what this means. Maybe someone here knows what this means. Some of them are menorahs kimishbatam. So they're telling you the basic thing is, again, lefisha modiyanu alama osa asa menorahs v'akol dorash min ha-Torah. I'm reading from the Rashi Pasuk Zayin. Rashi Perek Dalid Pasuk Zayin Rashi. Before we go to Pasuk Yedalid, we didn't do all the Rashis. So again, the menorahs were not made. It was not his own idea. It was according to the Torah's law. It says in the Torah, Perachim Kaftarim, put on the flowers. Kaftarim, the knobs. Givim, the Kaftarim, the Kaftar are the knobs, and the Givim Hamishukadim, the cups that had designs of almonds etched into their side. Nemru parasha shivim. It says it's 70 times. Now I try to count all different types of count. I couldn't figure where does it get the number 70. I don't know what this means. Somehow, some way, some shape, some form, you look in the Torah, you're going to find the number 70 in reference to the different parts of the menorah. Now, what do you have in your girsa? Seven?
Seven, but
I have shivim
b'hirsh. No, you said 10, but each menorah had 7.
That's later, but look at it. It says b'prachim, kaftarim, givim, mishukadim, nemru b'parsha shivim. It says in the parsha 70 times, and that means if there's going to be
topic of shivim.
Yeah,
maybe each element. How many menorahs? There was 10 menorahs?
In the Torah. This is what Rashi's coming to us, that Shlomo HaMelech found a remes in the Torah that there should be 10 additional menorahs. Where did he find this remes? Because the number 70 appears somewhere in the Torah. There is a collection.
Some sort of subject.
Mizra Koyach.
I mean, I'm just saying. Rashi 70. That's the.
What's the medrash? Where?
The word that cracked the mind with Shimon.
The medrash. I don't know where the medrash is. I couldn't find. Okay, yeah, Shiv Mizrugecha, that's a measurement, that's a bowl, yeah.
I'm looking for the word Shivim, that's
all these different elements when you
add up. Yes, I tried that. I took out the Chum, but I tried. You add on each thing, you have 5. You have on each branch, you have 5. So that's only going to give you a total of 35. And then the bottom, it doesn't come out to more than 44. Depending on how you want to make the calculation, you're not going to have a total of more than 40, 45. You want to then add the Neros. You have another 7, you'll come to 50, you're not going to come to 70. Maybe because of a Parashas Vayakel and Pekudi, when it concludes, it says in Parashas Truma, when it says in Parashas Vayakel, maybe it means in the Parashas of No, there are 70 words. Maybe there are 70 words in one of the Parashas. I'm not sure, I don't know, but somehow he found in the Medrash that there is some calculation that you come to the number 70 in the Torah, and that is a remez. The Torah wants there to be 70 candles in addition to the menorah of Moshe. Only way you can have 70 additional candles is if you make 70, 10 additional menorahs. So we'll leave it with that. Let's just leave it with that. Let's go further. Hare l'chol asar menorah shiv neros. Therefore, there's going to be, for each of the 10 menorahs, there's going to be 7 neros. The shiva neros. So why are there 7 neros? So we know there are various midrashim. They correspond to the 7 branches of wisdom. There are 7 books of the Torah. When you look at Parshas Chumash Bamidbar, when you break it up into 3, because of Ahi bin So Ha'oron, the Shiva Neros, however, he says that the seven branches correspond to the 7 stars, the 7 main stars, including the sun, the moon, and the 5 Kochvei Leches, the planets, the planets plus the sun and the moon, things which are visible to the naked eye, they are more significant. So there are 5 plus 2, the sun and the moon, and that's what it corresponds to. The Shiva Neros Secha Kneged Zayin Kochvei, which stand for Chama. The Nun, all these, I'm not sure what these things stand for. They stand for different planets, in different planets that are visible to the naked eye. Okay, further. Vayitin Behechel Chamesh Mimin. Shlomo, he took the menorahs, he put the menorahs 5 on the right, 5 on the left. We learned this yesterday. The menorah Shlomo Moshe, the Chamesh Mismol, the Kulam Bedarim, all of them were on the south. Mismol, Shal Shulchan, then in the standing, he added 10 tables, 5 on the right, 5 on the left of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayas Mizrkez of Me'el. He then made 100 bowls. Shazarkin Boy Hadam Al Hamizbeach. These bowls were used for Zurika. Okay, next, Pasuk Tes, V'yas Chotzer HaKoyhanim. We learned this, that's Ezra HaKoyhanim. V'ho Azora HaGedoyla. What is the Azora HaGedoyla? We discussed this yesterday at length when we went to the Metzudos. Zo Ezra HaYisrael, which was only 11 Amos in the Bayis Sheni. Was it larger in the Bayis Rishon? Perhaps. Or according to the Metzudos, why is it called, it says this also in the Radak, I believe, why is it called the Gedola Ezra? Because when they would pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem would assist them, and that would be a very great assistance. Zu Ezra Yisrael, Pasuk Yud, Mikot Seif, Hayimonis, Kedma Mimul Negba. Here's what I mentioned yesterday, that they put the Yam Shel Shlomo on the southern side. They moved it from the east. Notice it was not when you walk in on the east side. The Yam Shel Shlomo was not right in front of you on the east side, because that would not be tznius. People would get undressed to go into the mikvah. They moved it from in front of the entrance ledroima to the southern side Shel Azara. It's not derech eretz to be touched opposite the entrance to the ulam. So notice, not the entrance, not the, and look what the Harashi says, it's not a covered, the ulam, not the entrance to the azar. That's not an issue. That if the Yam Shel Shlomo would have been right in front of the Shar Nikanor, the entrance coming into the azar, that would not be the issue. The issue is that putting the Yam Shel Shlomo in the center will be right opposite the ulam, which goes into the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's not proper to stand there in a state of undress, a state of going to mikvah, in front of the ulam and the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, now...
You have no problem with them going to Tefillah at the side.
Seemingly, that's correct. Right, that's what Rashi seems to be saying. That it was used for actually being toivel in the mikvah for the Kohanim themselves. That's what Rashi here says. Other Mefarshim disagree. They say it's not mistaver. I saw this in the art school. It's not mistaver that they were toivel in the Azara. It's not their cheretz to be toivel in the Azara. It was a mikvah. It was used to be toivel kalim. If they were kalim, they were tamei, like the shulchan, or like even the menorah could become tamei, or there were knives, or anything which would became tamei, or clothing, the kohanim, they had clothing which became tamei, they would be toivel in the mikvah. But for people to be toivel in the azara, mistamer, that's not their cheretz, and he had other places for that. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayas Hudam Es Hasiros, we learned yesterday, he made the siros were the wheel carts. the wheel carts where they would deposit the ash from on top of the mizbech when there was too much ash. Siros nechoyshes shasuyim lachtois hadeshen lo seis lesochas siros. That's where the ash would be deposited when there was a large collection on the mizbech. And then they made also the shovels and the pitchforks. Pasuk Beis. Now here Rashi is going to describe Rashi's opinion of what the kosaros. This just goes back to what we discussed last time. Remember, there are two pillars. The two pillars stood in front of the ulam. One was called Yochid and Boaz. On top of the two pillars had a height of 30, had a height of almost eight, according to one opinion, 18 amos was the height of each pillar. Combined, they were 35 amos, which would then mean that each one was really 17 and a half. And on top of the two pillars were the things, these things called the capitals, the kosaros. Kosaros comes from the word keser. The kosaros were made from two bowls, the lower bowl and the upper bowl. The lower bowl was called the gula, and the upper bowl was called the keser. The upper bowl was designed with what's called the shavachos. Shavachos is lattice work. Now, there are different opinions in the Rishonim, what the nature of the lattice work, because the pasuk also says here that that there were two strands of rimonim. Each strand of rimonim include 100 rimonim for a grand total of 200 on each pillar for a grand total of 400 combined. Question is, are these two strands of rimonim, were they right along the center where the two bowls connected, or were the rimonim what was actually used for the lattice work? In other words, the two bowls were welded together, and then there was lattice work. The lattice work was made from crisscrossing of these rimonim, these 200 rimonim, which went up and down along the entire top. So this is a machlokes in the picture books. If you look in the picture books, it's interesting. I told you there are three excellent books available today which illustrate, I know of at least, that illustrate these kosaros. There is the new Rubin edition of the Art Scroll, Rubin edition of Sefer Melachim. They have a very beautiful illustration of the kosaros. There is what I've given you from the base Hamikdash HaRishon, and then there is from the Sefer Tavnis HaBayis. In the base Hamikdash HaRishon, they present the illustration like what Rashi is about to say, is that the Rimonim themselves were the lattice work. They're one and the same. Now we have to also remember that there's another key word which Rashi is going to mention, the Sharsharos. They were chains, which seemingly means there was some type of piece of metal which was a chain, and on the chain were the 100 Rimonim. The chain was the string which brought together the 100 or the 200 Rimonim. Now the word chain does not appear here in this pasuk. In this pasuk, let's see now the Rashi. V'agulos v'hakosaros al rosh ha'amudim shtayim. The gulos is the lower bowl, and the kosaros was the upper bowl, which was inverted. The two bowls were one was upside down, and they were connected together, and they were on top of the amudim l'shtei ha'amudim v'hasevachos shtayim. Now here Rashi's opinion is like the base Hamikdash HaRishon book. That picture, one of the first picture that I gave out last week, elu hasharshros. Rashi here says a chiddush that the sevachos is one and the same of the word the sharsharos, the chains. It was not that they were chains. They were chains with pomegranates which wrapped around the center of the connection of these two bowls, and then in addition to that, there was sevachos. No, the sharsharos is the sevachos. Shenemru lamala, that was said back in the previous parak, the teda, shekein, I'll prove you that they are one and the same, shekeinu, sheloi bekan of lebe molochim maskei beparasha zur b'shumokim sharsharos, because here in this section, and in Sefer Melachim, nowhere do you have that magical word, the sharsharos. The only word we have is sivachos. It must then be that if one is present in one location and one is absent in the other location, it must then be logical that they are one and the same. Lechasos es shtei gulos hakosaros. Lechasos chalal. So what was the purpose of these pomegranates? It was to cover the chalal, the space, hakosaros, bisivachos, with the area, the chlal means the area of the koseris. The koseris is the word for the upper bowl with the sivachos, the slattice work. The branches were branch of palm trees. Like I explained, the branches, the design looked like palm trees with pomegranates growing on the palm trees, which is very strange. Pomegranates don't grow palm trees. Dates grow on palm trees. Here you have some mingling, some kalayim. Pomegranates growing on palm trees. There must be some significance. What that is about? Pasuk Gimel Yisrael Imonim Arba Meos. There were 400 Imonim. Lamalu Huayim Evayas Imonim Meya. It says the contradiction here. It says there were 400, and before previous prepared Gimel Wilam there was only 100. Haketzad Elakach Yesh Lefarish Vaday. In truth, there were a total of 400 rimonim. Kasher nemar kan umasha omar mea. This that it says 100, hare mea l'chol tur v'tur. It means 100 for each row. But the rows, according to Rashi, jigjacked. They went up and down in order to cover the entire chalal of the keser. The dal leturim heim kedama beis turim l'svacha achas v'chein shnei turim rimoinim l'svacha achas hare dal leturim the rimoinim hayu michu zorim and the pomegranates were chained, were linked on this chain b'sor chas svachos hamushbetzos that were set utikuim and were inlaid lechasos vahetev eshtei gulos hakosaros to cover the two gulos hakosaros, the two bowls of the two upper bowls of the kosaros. Okay, so that concludes the basic amudim. The amudim basically have the two pillars. On top of the pillars, there are two bowls. They come together, and there are pomegranates, and there are chains. And these chains, the question is, are these chains the Sevachos, or are they separate? Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Yudalit. Yes, HaMechoinois Osso. Shlomo HaMelech made the Mechos. Now, over here, Pasuk Yudalit. V'Mechoinois. Shlomo HaMelech made Mechonos. In Sefer Dir HaYamim, there is no elaboration. In Sefer Melachim, there's much elaboration to describe the nature of the Mechoinois. The Mechonais were basically like wagons, small wagons, which served as a base, as a pedestal for a kiar, for a wash basin. This has no precedent in the Mishkan. The Mishkan shouldn't say there is no precedent. There was a kano, there was a kiar, and the kiar has a base. The base, we don't really pay much attention to the difference between the kiar and the kiar's base. But seemingly there were two separate things. In the Bais Rishon, in addition to Shlomo making an additional 10 kiaros, he made 10 additional bases. And the bases were no ordinary stands. They were very elaborate with wheels. There were two wheels, and it was a very beautiful box with different designs, as illustrated in Sefer Melachim. Why were these things so elaborate? So L'chor comes from Moshe, comes from the famous Chazal, and when Klal Yisrael gave donations to the Mishkan, they gave mirrors. People donated what? The women donated mirrors, bronze mirrors. In fact, they actually have, if you go to the museum in Bar Park, the Living Torah Museum, they actually have one of those mirrors from carbon dating. They can date from Egypt. They dug up, the way Rabbi Deutsch believes, this is an example of something exactly what a woman would have donated for the kiyar. A mirror, it weighs a ton. It's so heavy, and when I was there, it wasn't polished. It was all rusted. And he says, in the process of contracting with someone to polish half of it, and he said it's going to cost something like $100,000. And he has to collect the money to send it into the laboratory for them to polish it, half to show how this indeed can turn into a mirror. But he actually had one that came from Egypt, from seemingly the place where Bnei Yisrael lived at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe he has it in his book. By the way, a lot of the things that he has in the museum, he published now already in two volumes. Very, very nice, very nice book. Living Torah Museum, they actually those things with the story behind it and some of the details. But they donated these. So Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to accept these mirrors. Why not? Because they were used for the Yetzer Hara. because women would look in these mirrors and they would adorn themselves to look beautiful for their husbands, or to look beautiful for, just to look beautiful in general. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was detestable to use such an object for the base, for the Mishkan. Hashem said to Moshe, Adarabba, it's only through these mirrors the Klal Yisrael increased to the number 600,000. The women beautified themselves. They went out to the fields where the husband were working. They put the mirror in front of themselves and the husband. And they it's not really, really clear what exactly they said to the husbands. Look, I am more beautiful than you. And they had some type of argument with their husbands looking in the mirror. And through this mirror, they led them to, it brought out the Yetzirah between husband and wife. And they had children, six in one shot, Shishim Ribo, 600,000. So Hashem said, it's only through these mirrors which did I, only through these mirrors did Klal Yisrael come to such a large number, and therefore Adrabba, I want to use these mirrors in the Mishkan, and you should make from these mirrors the Kiyar. The Kiyar was used for,
So
the May Saita, she would come and she would look. The Kohen, you're not allowed to look at a woman. So how do you look at a woman? You look at her through a mirror. Why is that? Why is looking at a mirror any different? I'm not exactly sure. Okay, but that is what became of the mirrors. So it's interesting that here in the Mishkan, one of the most elaborate things that Shlomo did is he made the mechoinos, the bases for these kiyorim, which also the whole kiyor is based, came from the mirror, came from these mirrors. And a purpose of a mirror is beautification, yoifi. You look in the mirror to make sure that you are 100%. You beautify yourself in front of the mirror. These foundations for the kiyoros were beautiful, were exceptionally beautiful, seemingly fitting, being drawn from this makor of the first kiyor, which also came from objects that were used for beautification. How big? What?
The mirror that you showed me.
It was about the size of this book, I would say. The sefer. It had like a handle. It was very heavy. Let's pick it up. It must weigh like 20 pounds. Like it weighs, I don't know how. What would happen? Well, nothing's going to happen. Okay. Let's go further. Just Derech Agav. Okay, just to tell you, we know in Sefer, I heard this week from a Rishur, something very interesting about a mirror. It's really a little bit off the topic, but it's just it sticks in my mind. We know that in Sefer Yeshaya, we learned it together, in the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, Yeshaya gives Musa to Klal Yisrael, and he warns them, if you don't behave yourself, you're going to go into Galus and you're going to suffer. Terrible things are going to happen. And he enumerates the 24 tachshitim that a kala, that a bride, adorns herself with. And he says that in place of these 24 adornments, you're going to put on your body, there are going to be 24 makos. The Klal Yisrael is going to suffer 24, instead of putting on a certain type of belt, which is used for beauty, you're going to be putting on a belt for mourning. And so on and so forth. In the process of Yeshaya giving Musa Klal Yisrael, he enumerates 24 tachshitim, 24 ornaments. And from this Chazal learn that a kala ideally is supposed to wear 24 different forms of jewelry. Comes from Yeshaya. And Chazal go further. From here we learn that a Talmud Chacham has to beautify himself in the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. There are 24 books of Tanakh corresponding to the 24 tachshitim of a kala. A Talmud Chacham is a kala. He has to look beautiful. Being beautiful means knowledgeable in 24 Sifrei Tanakh. I guess you could say the same thing. There are 24 mishmaros. We once discussed 24 mishmaros. So the kohanim are the yoifi. They are the tachshit of Klal Yisrael. They are our representatives, our teachers. They are the beauty of Klal Yisrael. So he brings a rokeach. There's a beautiful rokeach. The rokeach says the truth. If you look at it, you look very carefully in the list, one of the tachshitin is a mirror. It's called I don't remember the exact word. If you look in Sefer Yeshaya, Paragimel Pasuk Yudches, if I'm not mistaken, Paragimel Pasuk Yudches, one of the tachshitin is a mirror. So the Mefarshim asked, the Groy asked, the Groy says, how could you say it's a mirror? A mirror is not a tachshit. a mirror is a tool you use to adorn yourself. If you look carefully at the list, you'll see that from the 24 items, 23 indeed are ornaments, things which you dress with, you put on your body to look presentable. But one of the items listed according to Rashi is, and the Targum, is a mirror. You don't wear mirrors. You never saw someone walking around carrying a mirror. A mirror is something you have in your home, you look at to make sure that before you go outside, you look proper. So the Gra, he says very powerful words. He says that Rashi and the Targum, I don't know how you can say this, they made a mistake. It was a shkoga. They made a mistake. It's not a mirror. It can't be a mirror. It means something else. And he goes on to explain what it means. This is the Gra. So however, the Rokeach says it's not a mistake, and he says something very powerful. He says, what is a mirror? There was a story where a king, he hired an artisan to beautify his palace, to design, and three of the four walls he decorated with beautiful tapestries and stones, precious stones and metals and paintings and murals and so on and so forth. And on the fourth wall, he didn't do anything. He put a mirror, a big, massive mirror. And he explained to the king at first was upset that you've cheated me. I've hired you to use your to beautify four walls. You've only beautified three of the four walls. So he told the king that they don't understand. The fourth wall, the mirror on the fourth wall, it brings together the yoifi of the other three walls. There are three walls. Each wall has a certain unique yoifi. And the mirror brings them all. The reflection of the mirror captures the yoifi of all three together. So the Rokeach says an amazing idea. I think it's the Rokeach. He says this, that Chazal tell us, make it very clear, there are 24 books in Tanakh. And they correspond to the 24 Tachshitin. In fact, I asked Rabbi Shur after the Shiva, I said to him, is there anyone that explains which Tachshit corresponds to which Sefer? That way, we'll get a greater appreciation of what the Sefer is all about. If you'll tell me that a certain Sefer corresponds to earrings, then we'll understand whatever. We'll delve deeply into the meaning. What is an earring? What is the purpose of an earring? And then we'll know that this Sefer captures that concept. What is a nose ring? What is a belt? What is a crown for the hair? All different things. So he said to me, I never heard of anything like this. So I said to him, so you, the Rav, you should, it's fitting for you to come up. This is just up your alley. I didn't say those words. It's just up your alley. You have the kishoinos to tell us, to figure out from the 24 Sefer Tanakh to match, to make a shidduch between each one of the 24 tachshitim to one of the svarim. All right, so he didn't say anything to me.
His sheet is that you don't wear 24.
So he didn't say anything to me. Okay, but then I did. But in his shir, what he did explain was in the fascinating Rokeach. The Rokeach does say there are 24, and one of them is a mirror, and it's not so simple to say that Rashi and the Targum made a mistake and it's not a tachshit. But being that we have 24 Sefer Tanakh and there is one sefer that's different from all the 24 Sefer Tanakh, which one is the most different? Megillas Esther. Why is Megillah Esther the most different? So he says, you can say many things, because it's not Metame Yodayim. Chazal tell us all of the 23 of the 24 Sefer Tanakh, if you touch them, you become Tame. Megat Takon, in order not to store it in the Sefer, in the Heichal, because rats, rodents, they would store it in, they used to store in ancient times, Truma in the Oron. What's the problem? It's a very good idea. Truma is holy, and the Sefer Torah is holy, so keep them together. Rodents would come into the Aron Kodesh to eat the Truma, and in the process would nibble at the Sefer Torah and ruin the Sefer Torah. So Chazal were fed up with all of the damaged Sefer Torah because of the Truma that was stored in the Aron, and they said, from now on, the Sefer Torah are mitamei es hayadayim, our source of Tumah. Truma has to be in a state of tahara. If you put the truma in the aron, it's inevitable it's going to touch the sefer tahara and become tamei. That put an end to the problem. No one would any longer dare store truma in the aron. The only thing that's not included in this takana is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is not called the sefer; it's called the Megillah, and the Megillah it's not mitamei dam. So the rekeach is being that we know for a fact that the Megillah is different. Another reason why it's different: it's the only sefer that doesn't have Hashem's name. Doesn't have Hashem's name, and the whole Megillah is all just a collection of simple events. It's a record of history. It's not telling us anything that happened. We have to put the picture together. So he says the Megillas Esther is the mirror, is the mirror of the other Chav Gimel Sifrei Tanakh. Other Chav Gimel Sifrei Tanakh are instructions, is Musar, are things that are very direct. The Megillas Esther is look at the world, look at history, look at events, sequence of events that happen. You want to look the in the Megillah, it's the mirror of the other Chaf Gimel Sifrei Tanakh. The Torah and the Mitzvos, the Musar and the Hashkafa, all of that can be found hidden, hidden in Megillas Esther. When you look at it, just Megillas Esther is just a mashal for what happens every day in the world. That was one period of time. It was during the Tkufa of the Persians, Han Mordechai v'Esther. Things just happen, and look at that, a miracle. The truth is, the Megillas Esther happens every single day. Sequent events happen, we put the pieces together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is the Yad Hashem. That is the mirror. So it's true. The truth is, a mirror is indeed called a Tachshit. Now, how does that apply here to the Mechonos? Because the Mechonos were the mirror in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a lot of Jewish that when the Kohen would come, let's just take a step back. The Kiyar was round, not like the other Kelim. All the other Kelim, the Shulchan and the Menorah, and we were pretty much square. The Kiyar was a round basin, and it was made from mirrors, which means it was a reflection. The Kiyar was the mirror in the Beis HaMikdash. When you look at the Kiyar, what do you see? You see everything. You see the big picture. It brings together everything that was in the Beis that was in the Yoifi, both in Gashmias and Ruchnias, that appeared in the entire Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo enhanced this by building 10 of these. Now he wasn't satisfied with just one. He built an additional 10. And not only that, he built these very elaborate stands which were mobile, which had wheels. It wasn't like everything else just had a stand and legs, raglayim. Let's talk about the shulchan. The shulchan has four legs. Let's talk about the aron. We're brainwashed. We think the aron was a box and it stood on the ground. How do you put the aron on the floor? Everything about that? Take the aron. Who today would ever dare take an aron and put the aron on the sefer Torah on the floor? You just take the aron, you put the aron on the floor? How can you do that? When it comes to the shulchan, the shulchan has four legs. The menorah has three legs. That's one of the big issues with the arch of Titus, the arch of Titus. One of the big mysteries: what happened to the legs? There are three legs that are missing from the arch of Titus, and that's why many want to suggest that that was not the menorah. They want to argue that the Arch of Titus, where they depict the Jewish slaves carrying the captives, schlepping the menorah, they're not carrying the menorah that was in the Heichal. Because the menorah and the Heichal had three legs. Well, they cut off the legs to make it easier to carry? Maybe. Maybe, we don't know. But it had legs. Shulchan had legs. Where are the legs for the Aron? So you look in some of the Rishonim, they were legs. There's a whole different way to learn Shah and the Pasuk, that the Aron indeed had legs. Not like the way we are. You have to look maybe in the Rashbam, or look in other Rishonim. They're different Sfarim, which have other images, other depictions of what the Kelim looked like according to other Rishonim, and some of them all present the Aron with legs. But what's so bizarre is The kiar here didn't have legs. At least it was Shlomo. It had wheels. Wheels. No legs. Why are there wheels? So maybe you want... why was there more mobility? They didn't move. They moved them around when the Kohanim came. Maybe they did. Maybe that's why they needed the wheels to move it around. It was a different type of kli. I don't know what the significance of having wheels over having legs, but one point just I want to make is that the kiar came from mirrors. Mirrors are the reflection of everything else that is in the room. And you find this example with regard to Megillas Esther, with the 24th Sefer. It's one of the Tachshitei Kala. And in fact, it is the ultimate Tachshit. It's the ultimate Tachshit, because this Tachshit is the one which brings everything, all of the other Tachshitim, together. Okay.
Did they have to wash off the blood?
L'chor they did.
So that's what you needed the kiyar.
That's what you had the Yamshel Shlomo for. That's what it says, the oila.
You put in Yamshel Shlomo because you would make the Yamshel Shlomo full of blood.
No, they had spouts. That was the purpose of the Pekoyim. The Bekarim, along the lower three Amos, there were these
maybe
two rows.
Was just for the Kohanim,
that's the question. But the Pasuk, the Pasuk, yes,
they moved the kiyar next to
the Pasuk makes it very okay. But the Pasuk, yes, that makes it very clear that they washed. They used the Yamshel Shlomo. No, but look what it says. No, it says in the Pasuk. Go back to the Pasuk Vav. Vayas kiyorim asa vayitin chamisha min. I'm sorry. Vayas kiyorim vayyad. You're right, the kiyah, that's what's with the kiyah. You're right, this is the kiyah, not the yam. You're right, okay, it's in the chlami, so it was used to wash the various... Right.
Probably every time it got full of blood, they just...
Okay, could be. Let's go further. Let's review this. Again, Pasuk Yudal, V'yasa Mechonis, Asa, V'yasa Kiyoros, Asa, Ala Mechonis. So he made the Mechonis. The Mechonis are the basis. And then he made the Kiyoros, Asa, 10 additional Kiyoros, Asa, Ala HaMechonis. Pasuk Tezvav, V'yasa Yom Echad. He made one Yam, the Yam Shoshom, which reviewing what he did, reviewing. V'yasa Bakar, Shnei Masar, Tachtav, and the 12 Bakar, which served as a support for the Yam Shel Shlomo. Pasuk Tezayin, V'yasa Siros. The Siros are the large basins made from copper, which were used to collect the ash before it was carted outside the Beis Hamikdash. V'yes hayoim, these are the shovels. V'yes hamiz logos, these are the pitchforks used by the Kohanim to stir the meat on the fire. V'yes kol kilehem, all of their other kelim, which we don't know what the other kelim are. Okay, other types of kelim which were used as part of the process of for the mizbeach. Asa churam aviv, churam, asa churam aviv, who's aviv? Churam aviv. I didn't pay attention to this point when I prepared. What is over here?
Who was like his father?
Okay, the son was like his father. Churam, who was like ki aviv, who was like his father, who was the ultimate master craftsman. All of this was done, La Melech, Shlomo, Lebeis Hashem, Nechoshes, Maruk, all of these kelim that we mentioned, the Kiyar, the Mechoinois, the Yam, the Siros, the Yohim, they were made from Nechoshes, Maruk. Maruk means polished. But it's a meaning that it was very high quality copper, which I know, Maruk was, that's how he translated it, was polished. Rashi has a little bit of an elaboration, it means, as we'll see in a moment. Okay, Pasuk Yitzhak, where was this cast? Where did they put together the molds to make the Yamshel Shlomo and the Mechonais and the Kiyar and the shovels? All of these things had to be made in molds. They didn't just go and melt copper and shape it with their bare hands or some type of utensil. They made molds. They poured the copper into the mold. They let it solidify, and you had a shovel, you had a fork, you had the yam, you had all the various kem. So you need special earth. If you go out to your backyard and you make a mold. How do you make a mold? You make a mold, you have clay. You go and you have cement. You take clay, you take water, you take some other type of ingredients, and you make basically a cement. And you make the cement, you form the cement in the shape where you a shape of the item of the utensil that you want to form, and then you pour the copper into this mold clay. They're not all earth and clay are the same. Gesundheit. There are different parts of the world, different parts of Eretz Yisrael, which have different types of earth, different types of clay, and some types of clay are better, are more shapeable, would bring out a better product. So the best earth that was used to form the kalim was found in this place called the Kikar Hayarden. Okay, name of a place along the Yarden, not exactly sure where it is, the Kikar Hayarden Yitzhakam HaMelech. In this location, that's where they were molded. It was done, it was outsourced. It was not done on site. It was done in the Kikar Hayarden, that's where the molds were made. The Ave Hoadam, the Ave means the clay, the clump of the earth. The gargushta, the clump of the earth, was where it was cast. Bein Sukkos, where is Kikar HaYarden? It's between two places. Two places called Bein Sukkos, Bein Tzeredosa, places that were well known in those times, in between these two cities, these two locations. Vayash Shlomo, Kol HaKelim Wa'ila L'Lor of Ma'od, all these kelim were made in abundance. Ki Lo Nechkar Mishkal HaNechesh, because it was never investigated. They never made a formal calculation of how much copper. There was so much copper available, it was never even in the calculation. Pasuk Yites, Vayashlom Eis Kol HaKelim Asher Beis Lukim, Vayes Mizrach Azov, Vayes HaShulchonis, Vayaleim Lech Maponim, made all the kelim, the Shulchonis Lech Maponim, upon it, the es haminoros, the neiros sehem, the minoros and their neiros. Big question: are the neiros part of the menorah? This is machlekes in the Gemara. And it was the menorah we know must come from one piece of metal. Hashem, Moshe was perplexed. He was too difficult for him to make the menorah. Hashem took the metal and Hashem, they threw him to the fire. A miracle happened and they came out of menorah. Are the very top part of the menorah, is that permanently attached? Or is that separate? Is that included in the... That's called the ner.
You mean the bowls?
No, the right. Like today you have the glass cups on top of your those little... Right, so that... Let's make believe those glass cups were made from gold. Is that part of...
Here it is, because it says...
It's Gemara.
The Avoda was, every morning they did first...
Cleaned it out. So how did they clean out? So it's Gemara. Gemara says one of two ways. Either they took it out, right? They took it out, took it off, and they cleaned it out. Or... It was bendable. It was one piece of metal, but gold is very
malleable.
And they would bend it down, and then they would clean it out, turn it right back up, and then they would fill it up with oil. Two opinions in the Gemara. Rashi is going to take sides here in a few moments. The neros, yes.
These are also called gulos.
Gulos, the ner, okay. The ner is a gulos, okay. Yes, Tamanuras, Venerosilinuras, Venerosil, Levaram, very unusual word, Levaram, to burn. Okay, that's not the word, that's not the typical word that's used in reference to, it's Lahadlik. You don't, it's a very difficult word. Why does the word Levaram kamishpot? Because the purpose of the menorah is not to burn. When you light a candle, what's your primary goal? Lahadlik. Your purpose is to bring illumination. The word Levaram is used when you want to consume. You have a waste product, or you have fuel, and you want to burn it. You want to be Levayer Chametz. Chametz, you do Bir Chametz. What's Bir Chametz? To destroy, to obliterate. The goal is not that there should be fire and warmth and heat. The purpose of burning the Chametz is to eliminate the Chametz. The purpose of lighting the menorah is not to eliminate the oil. The purpose of lighting the menorah is to provide illumination. So what does it mean over here when it says in the pasuk, Levarim, I don't know. But why does the pasuk use the word Levarim? So it could very well be that this is just the way the word was used in these times. In the time of Ezra Nehemiah, when people wanted to refer to lighting, they used the word Levarim, but it's not used in the Torah. It's a whole different focus. Bior relative to Hadlaka. Before the dvir, it means before the kodesh hakadoshim. This was the ner was before the kodesh hakadoshim. Zahav sagur means fine gold, purest gold. If we learn this a few times, sagur means to close. If you would go to the market and you would present in the street this type of gold, this quality gold, everyone else, all of the other retailers or wholesalers would close up shop. Once you get used to this type of gold, you're not interested in anything else. Once you're spoiled with the real stuff, you're not willing to go for anything of a lesser quality. So it would put to shame all other types of gold to the point where they would have no choice but to close their shops. Pasuk Chof Aleph, Ve'haperach. Notice it's singular. A single perach, a single flower, which we'll see in Rashi, Ve'haneros. Now here it says Neros. We already said Neros. Didn't we say before the menorah v'neros sehem? Okay. I don't know, there are a lot of strange things here. I don't know what's going on. V'amperach v'haneros v'hamel kochayim, the tongues, zahav, or gold, gog, zahavu, nichlois, zahav, nichlois means another expression, finest gold, like klilas hayoifi, the perfection of gold, the perfect gold. However, Chazal may have a drasha, mechilos means kol, consumed, nothing left. Shlomo HaMelech used up every last bit of gold he had to fashion these 10 menorahs. This was in the Daf Yomi only a few days ago in the Masechet Shkolim, where the Gemara says Shlomo HaMelech took 1,000 talents of gold and he put it into the kiln and came out only after he did this 80 times or many times until it was refined to the point where 1,000 was reduced to 1. Now if you take 1,000 talents of gold, obviously, you're going to clean out your treasure house. You're not going to have any gold left in your treasure house when you need to do this 10 times to fashion 10 menorahs for the Beis HaMikdash. So, Mechilos Zahav, Shlomo HaMelech, he consumed all his gold in preparing the menorahs for the Beis HaMikdash. Veham Zamros, musical instruments. Vehamizrakos, bowls. Bowls used to throw the blood on the Mizbeach for the Korbanos. Veha kapois. Kapois were used to hold the frankincense, the levoina on the Shulchan. Veha machtois, zahav, and shovels. Machtois, pans. Machtois are pans. Pans that were used to prepare the lechem aponim. Zahav, sagur, the finest gold. Period. Upesach habayis, he used material to make the Pesach habayis, dal seisav hapnimios, lekodesh hakodoshim, the inner doors to the kodesh hakodoshim. Notice there were doors. Okay, it's clear as day. In the bayis rishon, it was not like the bayis sheni, where it was just two double parochas. In the bayis rishon, there was a wall, and in between the wall was a mezuzah. There was a doorpost, a mashkof and shtei mezuzos, and attached to the mashkof and the shtei mezuzos were doors, and the doors were fine gold. And in addition to the door, there was also a paroches. And like we just mentioned, that's why Bizman Azel, we have the minuk in the Beis HaKnesses. You have a door and you have a paroches. Where does the door go? Where is the paroches? That's the side of Ashkenazim. The side put the paroches inside. Ashkenazim put the paroches on the outside. The dalse habayis and the doors of the bayis la heichol, in addition to the kodesh hakodesh, the doors for the heichol, were made from zahav, made from gold. Let's look at the mitzudos, starting with pasuk yudalid. Al hamachonos lo shiva hamachonos to kiyaros. The kiyaros were put on these elaborate stands that had wheels. Then Shlomo made from the copper, he made siros, the wheelbarrows. Now here in the Mitzvah explains why are we mentioning this again. We already mentioned this in the previous Pesukim in the beginning of Perek Dalet. The answer is we want to tell you the material. In the previous part of the Perek we did not tell you from what material it came. We just told you that these things were crafted. Here it tells us that it was made from copper. Im shekvar nemar lemalo amar shuv lemar shehoyu minechoshes moruk. It was made from polished copper, that was a certain type of copper, that was the highest quality copper. Kol kileim shalchatzroi space Hashem. All of the utensils were crafted by Churam Aviv. Horoi ki Aviv. You have to add an extra chof. The techsar chof hashimush. The chof hashimush is absent. V'chein yitav geha. have another example where the chaf of geha, I'm not sure what that pasuk means, v'haroi ki geha. There's also a chaf missing in that pasuk. V'ratzolema, chudum asam toivim v'yafim ke'aviv k'laimar, ke'fima shahoya oisa aviv, shayenoida lu'umun gadol k'mashama b'molochem aleph. That Chiram fashioned this just like his father would have done so. His father was more famous, was a more famous artisan than the son, and the son followed in the way of the father.
Okay, but it's the same thing he said when we had that word before.
Which word?
Aviv.
Aviv, yeah. Well, no, there we had a different interpretation. That was one of a few interpretations. There were a few interpretations. One was he was an Aviv. Rashi had a different interpretation. It means a craftsman. A father sometimes means a master. Av means you're a master. It was used different. It wasn't used in this form. It was used differently there back. It means that he was the master craftsman. But here it's being used differently. It's being used that the son did it like his father would have done, the one who taught him this malacha. Next words. Pasuk Yitzayin be'oyvei ha'adama. It was cast be'avei ha'adama. Chofar bo'adama. They dug into the earth itself the form, the mold, in which they would pour the copper.
That's done now too. It's called sand casting.
Yeah.
It's done now with brass and.
Interesting. Okay, I'm not at all familiar with this. Mm-hmm. Okay, nothing has changed in 3,000 years. Things are still the same. After it was melted, the molten copper was poured into the molds that were dug into the earth. There was so much copper that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, it was beyond calculation. No one can measure its weight. Pasuk Yutes, Asher Bayis, Asher Lebeis Lokim, Valeim, Al Shulchanot Sidru Lech Maponim, Leva'arom. This unusual word. Le'asuyim Lehadlik Bohem Neros Kimishpat HaTorah Asher Omdu Lefnei Advir, Hei Mohoyu Mizov Sagor. This was, they made the menorah in order to kindle the menorah, to bring light.
Explain what it means.
He does. He just says levaram. Just as I told you, I don't know why.
Hasuim lahalik. He doesn't say what levaram means.
Levaram means lahalik. The Targum also says lahalik. It means to kindle. But I'm just questioning why are we using this very unusual word? The word lechora is lahadlik. It's true when you light, when you bring illumination, you're consuming the energy. But that's not the focus. The focus is the product, not the inner workings. Hadlaka isa mitzvah or hanocha? Hanocha? What is hanocha? No, but that's the menorah was an or. It was an illumination for the world. So he's saying a whole new yisod that lighting the menorah. The purpose of the menorah is being the vayer, the ra in this world. I don't know. It's a very strange. Yeah. Right. Obviously, they're all disturbed. Obviously, there's something very deep. Why in Sefer Divrei Hayom are we referring to the lighting of the menorah with this unusual word levaron? That's not the word. If you were writing this, it's not the word you would select. The fact that it was selected says something. The deeper meaning, I do not know. Next, what? Lahalik ner Chanukah. You don't say levayer. It's true.
But you say do your focus. Maybe you want to say because it's about the malacha.
Right, exactly. Because we lo sevarish. What are you lighting candle for? To food.
Right.
You're lighting. You're kindling fire either for heat. You want warmth, or you want heat to prepare food.
Right.
So it's the result. You don't need the light. You don't need the light.
You see a Ghana, you're lighting light a lot. In Shabbos you can put on a light if you want to scare the Ghana away, because you're not putting...
Malacha sheit shuchu
l'gufa. Right, so that has to say levarim, that they didn't light it just for the sake of lighting. They lit it...
But that's not why you're lighting the menorah. Lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is not to consume the oil. The purpose of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is to provide illumination.
Yerusha.
The illumination is a spiritual illumination. It's not to consume the oil. So why are we selecting this unusual word? So the simple answer is that's the way, that's the language of the time. That's very common in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The language has changed considerably from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why there are so many different words. And everyone just says, so you have to understand, Ezra and Nehemiah are speaking, this is a motivational book. This is not a book to study Tanakh, to study all the secret meanings. He was speaking to the people to motivate them to come and make Aliyah, so he spoke their language. Like today, you would speak English, you would speak a language, modern Hebrew, people understand the language better. So that's the language he spoke. The word Levarom was a word which was interpreted to mean to kindle, to light, to provide illumination. But obviously that's not fully satisfying. There must be something much deeper, which we'll leave for now. Let's go further in the Mitzudos. The Aperach. So here, the Mitzudos here is saying something which Rashi is going to pick up on. Kivutzas haperach. Perach is singular. There were many flowers. How many flowers were there? I think there were 9. Right? There were 9 flowers in total on the menorah. Each menorah had 9 flowers. So why is it written Beloshon Yochid? It's written Beloshon Yochid, so he says Kivutzas, or maybe it was 7. There were 7 flowers? Either 7 or 9, I don't remember. So it means sometimes you refer to a collective, a collection in the singular term, Kivutzas HaPerach, right? That's what he says. Rashi is going to have a different interpretation, we'll see in one moment. I don't know, okay, let me take a look. Yeah, he has interpretation? Let me open up to the Malbim. Perik Beis, Perik Dalit. That's machlokes in the Gemara. That's machlokes in the Gemara. They lied to him. Divrei Hayamim, it's mash, and he lit them all. There's a steal between what it says in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. In Sefer Melachim, it's mashma, they only lit Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. In Divrei Hayamim, it's mashma, they lit all of the menorahs.
But he's saying to differentiate the
two. So Levarom.
That's what
he's
purpose.
They served that they didn't fire. There was only that one minute.
So they wanted to burn the leftover oil. It wasn't really for the purpose of illumination. That's what the Malbim says. Wait, what pasuk is it? Pasuk Chaf. A Perek Dalet. Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf. V'chei mashem levarem lemandiyam ashelo hayu malikim rak es shel Moshe perish levaer es haneros. I don't know what they mean.
Moshe Rabbeinu's was for the light.
For the light. This one was to consume the leftover oil, maybe. So it wasn't, so he's saying an idea, it wasn't, the lighting was not for the purpose of illumination. But it's very strange. You're making a menorah and it's surah of a candelabra, which is for illumination, and you're not even using it for its primary, it's
maybe it's like the Shabbos on the
it's okay.
Okay.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's something which requires more bayer. The bayer, the beer needs bayer. Is it the beer halacha or the bayer halacha? It's the bayer halacha. Bayer means elaboration. To explain, beer means to destroy. Olam ne'olam yeshiva she'olam. You say the beer halacha means to destroy, to burn. So here I'm just saying that the beer, the beer needs bayer. The beer needs bayer. That's what I'm trying to say here. Okay. So Rashi here, the Mitzvah says the perach is a kavutzas, a collective noun. Zav, hayu me zav, hayu hamichay michla zav, hayu kolil zav, hayu kolil kliil zav. The perfection, like klilas hayoifi. The perfection of beauty. Bibli taruvus sig, there was no impurities. He also made delosos, doors, bain dal soisav, haprimios, ulutasefes, bayor, omar, lekodesh akadosh, bain delosos, ahechol, ashahoyim, subinzov, which were covered. So the Mitzvah says, they're not the same. They're not the same. The doors of the kodesh akadosh were pure gold. The doors of the hechol were made from wood, covered by gold. But we needed special gold for both of these chambers. Let's look at the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk yud dalit v'yes hamachonis asa uv'malachim k'se v'yas es hamachonis eser. It says so. Here it is interesting. It does not tell us the number. Very curious why some numbers appear in one place and others in another place. We mentioned the shulchanos. It does not say in Sefer Melachim 10 shulchanos. It only mentions one shulchan. Only here in Divrei Hayamim does it mention that there were 10 shulchanos. I don't know why. That's the way it is. And I told you yesterday one reason, because they had to replace the Shulchan of Moshe. But it's still a strange thing. And here the Rashi is pointing out something else very strange. In Sefer Melachim it tells us clearly there were 10 kiyorim. Additionally, there were 10. And here it doesn't say that. It just says they may he made. It doesn't say Melachim Sivyas Esamelachonis Eser. Mechoinois heim, what are the mechoinois? Kane hakiyar, the base of the kiyar, the sham, the furish, the melachim, all of the details, a lot of details, spikes, the wheels, it goes into elaborate detail about the wheel. A wheel has all these different parts. You would never know, right? You go to a carriage, all the different parts of even the bicycle wheel, all the different, can you name on a bicycle wheel all the different parts? a lot of different parts. You have to
the spokes, the hub, the tire, the frame.
So you have the same way you have all of these words for the bicycle tire, you have all of these different words for the wheel of the mechoinos of the kiyar. Okay, next pasuk tezayin, v'yes hasiros, v'yes hayoim, v'yes hamizlagos, the wheelbarrows to hold the ash and the shovels and the pitchforks. Afal pishe amar nuhu kivar. He's asking the same question as the mitzudos. We already mentioned the previous psukim. All of these things kivar lamalabo v'chazar v'shana. We learned, so he doesn't give apology. We didn't know, it's not a kasha. Repetition is good. We're going to repeat a second time. The oid, if you really want to find a reason why we need to repeat it, lehodianu ki nechoyshes hayu, because before we did not learn its material. We just were taught that these things were crafted. Here it tells us from the material, the type of material. V'dam odianu mizlagos. Here it says for the first time, pitchforks. Pitchforks were not mentioned previously. Shlehuska lamala maruk dugmas maruku hara mochim. I don't know what that means. Umurak v'shutaf. It means
polished spears.
Umurak v'shutaf. B'mayim means it was rinsed. It was rinsed and washed. It means smooth. It was cleaned out. It was pure. It was smooth. It says memurat kemo ki mart rosho v'targumo nechoshes tov. The targum there is high quality, tov, it's good copper. Be'ove ha'adama, targuma, gargushta. Gargush is clumps of earth. Bein sukus, bein tsardasa. So the word tsardasa is a place. With Malachim, so kasev tsartan. So tsartan, he tells us, is the same as tsardasa. Tsardasa, who mekoyma, shol yuravim, he's telling us, der chagav, that this was the location of Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat, who broke off the Malchus, to split the Malchus with Rechavam, he lived in the place called Tsardasa. Yeravim ben Nevat Ephrasi, min Tsardasa, he was an Ephras from Shevet Ephraim, so we heard this place in Shevet Ephraim, min Hatsarda. V'shem imo Tsurua, what? Okay, fine, okay, but one interpretation. Okay, fine. But we do know that. That's why it's called. That's why the 10 shvatim are called Ephraim, because because he was the Yeravim ben Nevat was the leader. He was the founder, and the whole his malchus, the malchus Yisrael, is called after his shevet. Well, I don't remember. The leader of Shevet Ephraim. Right. Ephraim Mali Oid Ba'at Sabim. I don't need this stuff of the Zara of the eagle in Donbish and Beisel. Min Hatzar Atzarda V'shemimo Yitzurua Isha Almana Lefi Shemes. Now why is she Lefi Shemes Metan Ba'oil V'gam Mitzara K'moy Kein V'chein Avodas L'chavim. There are three things that are Metame Ba'oil. There is a mace, a Mitzara, and Avodah Zarah. We learned in Paragimel the Avodah Zuchavim, the Seifai, Almana, She'Alman Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is called an Almana, She'Alman Yisrael Me'alokav, Min Tsardasa, Nira She'Hatsar, Hatoira, V'lohirchiva, Hatsar, Das, Elokeinu, Kein Perish, Li Dodi. So what he means over here is here is the place where they rebelled. He's coming to explain here, I don't know the exact words, translation, but the gist of what he's trying to tell us is, why is this called over here, Tsardasa? Sardasa is really, it's a nice little like a midrashic interpretation. It's Tsarsan. How in the world did Tsarsan turn into Tsereidasa? It's not really the same letters. It's a little bit too much of a stretch. So the answer is, who came from this place? Who lived in Tsarsan? Yeravam ben Nevat. What did Yeravam ben Nevat do? He rebelled. Well, how did he rebel? He built two Avodah Zarah, an Egel, in Dan and Basel. And the Torah HaKadosha had Tsar. So it's Tsar Dos. Dos means the law. The law of Hashem. Hashem's law had pain, had Tsar, because of what took place in this location. From here, from this location, is where was Yotza, the rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu to divide the Malchus into two parts. So that's why Sha'alman, that's why he was called Ben Isha Almana. He is another similar drush. Now, why was his mother called Ben Isha Almana? Almana means Sha'alman, they became basically disassociated. Like they were not, and Almana means a woman that's not connected to her husband. They separated themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klai Yisrael Kavyachal is married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when Klai Yisrael is called an Almana, Hayisik Almana, you're separated. Sha'alman Yisrael Me'elokav, period. Min from this place called Tsar Dasa, Nira, Shehitzar Hatora, the Torah became narrow, below Hirchiva, and did not become what was not widened. Hatsar Das Elokov. Cain perishly, and again, I know the exact translation, I'm having a hard time, but it means that this idea that the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu became narrow, confined, it went into, it was limited, it was not expanded the way it should be.
The influence of the Torah was contracted.
It was contracted, okay. Due to the sin of Yeram ben Nevat. Pasik, Chaf. Now he's coming over here to tell us that this pasuk it says Hamenoros v'Neiros Sehem. Why are these two things joined together? So Rashi is taking sides. Lohitzi mi liban shel mefarshin Neiros Hayu asui mi gufa shel Menora. The Adukin ba, there are those that learn that the Neiros were one and the same. They were part of the menorah, the same piece of metal. The Adukim Basharikziv, we can't be Sharikziv, Vyas Hamanura, the Neiros Sehem, can't be. The fact that it says over here the Neiros Sehem separate, not part of the menorah, is an indication that the Neiros were not part of the menorah itself, they were detachable. Umasha Hiskiris HaNeiros Bifnei Atzman, Veloisha Maisa Menorah Bifnei Atzman, Givim Kaftarim Biprachim, Michlal Shalohayu, HaNeiros Aduk, Shalohayu, Haneros Adukin, they were not attached. Because if you want to break down the menorah into all different parts, so it should say the menorah with the Gevim and the Kaftarim and the Parachim. Why are we breaking it down into it and the Neros? The fact that we're not doing that, the only thing that we're mentioning is only the Neros, indicates that the Neros are the only things which were detachable, but everything else, the Parachim, the Kaftarim, and the Gevim, were all part of the Neros. Adukim ba Nero Kamasa Acher, it looked like something entirely different. The other things which are attached, they're part of the menorah. Well, Masha also esem menorah, svi eser shulchanos, svi eser kiyos, svi akruvim, v'chol asha also mefurish b'braisa, so there's Pinchas ben Yair, there is a braisa which elaborates all of the additional things which were made by Shlomo Melech. V'aperach, fascinating Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moisef on his own a perach on the base. In Parashas Bahaloscha there's a drasha. Torah tells you how many perachim to make, which means on each of the neros had a perach. Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to look at the picture, on the very, very bottom, according to Chazal, added one additional perach on the very, very bottom. And that's why it's meduik in Parash Pahaloscha, Ad Yirecha, Ad Pircha. It says Ad Pircha. That Pircha was Moshe's original contribution towards the menorah, and he says that's what it alludes to. We have to remember that Shlomo, this goes back to our Yisod that we learned when we started these Perakim, Shlomo idolized Kaviyachol Moshe Rabbeinu. And anything that Moshe was mechadesh by Shlomo, that was that said he had a copy. Moshe did something magnificent in that he added to the menorah an extra flower on the very, very bottom, at the base. And Shlomo took note of that, and when he made his menorahs, he also wanted to do that, to add that extra perach, and that's why it's written in the singular, not in the plural, like, not in the plural, to allude to this. Not like what the Mitzvah says, that the word perach just is just a collection of all of the other, the perach that appear on the menorah. I know, but Moshe, there is some drasha. I know in Echanami, I am pan mutara. Does not say in the truma that perucha that was Moshe Rabbeinu's own personal contribution. They also made the tongs from gold, which they used to take out the psilos min haner, sheyesh bar hashemen, the leftover ner. It was fine gold. Fine, that's what it says. Fine glass. He used up all his gold. He took out all the gold he had in storage and he put it into the Beis HaMikdash. Zamroist, musical instruments, klei zemer, v'hamizrikos, the bowls, lizrik bohem dam al mizbech, v'akapois, l'bazichi l'voino, v'yamachtois, lachtois, bohem, chumas hadeshen, shovels. The shovels were used every single day to lohodim yal mizbech, v'likach mulei machta, v'goymer. They made shovels that were used to take a scoopful of ash every single morning and put it along the side of the mizbeach. Okay, so that concludes this parak. We'll stop here. Mission tomorrow, pick up parak hay.